Meetings under the roll call be dispensed with, and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Today's chaplain is Reverend Leslie Neist from Granite Falls Lutheran Church. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. O God, as you have brought us together, lead us from death to life, from falsehood to truth, from despair to hope, from fear to trust. Lead us from hate to love, from war to peace, and let peace fill our hearts, our world, and our universe. Where hearts are fearful and constricted, grant courage and hope. Where anxiety is infectious and widening, grant peace and reassurance. Where impossibilities close every door and window, grant imagination and resistance. Where distrust twists our thinking, grant healing and illumination. Where spirits are daunted and weakened, grant soaring wings and strengthened dreams. As you have bound us together in a common life, we lift before you all who govern this state. May those who hold power understand that it is a trust for you to be used, not for personal glory or profit, but for the service of the people. In all our conflicts, help us to confront one another without hatred or bitterness, to listen for your voice amid competing claims, and to work together with mutual forbearance and respect. Bless these public servants, that they may do their work in a spirit of wisdom, charity, and justice. Help them use their authority to serve faithfully and to promote our common life. Drive us from cynicism, selfishness, and corruption, and grant in your mercy just and honest government, and give us grace to live together in unity and peace. O God, give us grace to set a good example to all among whom we live, to be just and true in our dealings, to be strict and conscientious in the discharge of every duty, pure and temperate in all enjoyment, gracious and generous and courteous toward all, so that a common faithful mind may be formed in us and all may know that we are disciples. Amen.
And I will first apologize. I mispronounced the Reverend's name, Reverend Leslie Neist. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led today by Mr. Herb Cook. Herb served in the U.S. Army from 1951 to 1953. He was a bricklayer even before his military service and retired in 1996 after over 48 years as a bricklayer. He became a sergeant for the Senate Sergeant at Arms office in 1999, and this is his 14th session of service to all of us here in the Senate. Herb and his wife, Dorothy, live in St. Paul and have eight children. Mr. Cook, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daly, DeKreif, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Fischbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Harrington, Hayden, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingerbritzen, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Cruz, Kubley, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Laurie, Magnus, Marty, McGuire, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Senjum, Sharon, Siebenskoy, Spark, Stump, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandeveer, Uyghur, Wolf.
Quorum is present. Moving to the second order of business, executive and official communications, there are several printed on today's Senate agenda that will be made note of. The fifth order of business, reports of committee, Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail.
Sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. There are several printed on page 4 of today's Senate agenda. The bills are second reading. Eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There are several changes to be made note of on today's Senate bill introductions. On page 4, Senate file 2112 will be referred to the Committee on Finance. On page 4, Senate file 2114 will be referred to Judiciary and Public Safety. On page 5, Senate file 2121 will be referred to the Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety. First reading, and they are referred as indicated. Moving on to the ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. There are 8 motions printed on page 4 of today's Senate agenda that will be adopted as one motion. On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, members, on behalf of you, Senator Fischbach, do hereby move that Senate file number 1573 be withdrawn from the Committee on Capital Investment and re-referred to the Committee on Higher Education. Madam President, this bill refers to some inter-agency bonding on the behalf of Minsku and would best be heard by your committee.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate File 1673 be withdrawn from the Committee on Jobs and Economic Growth and re-referred to the Committee on Local Government and Elections.
And, Senator Carlson, that is your bill and it's been agreed to?
That is correct.
On that... And please note in the agenda, there is a change on where it would be re-referred to on Senator Carlson's motion. It does say State Government Innovations and Veterans, and it is being referred to Local Government Elections, just so that you understand there's a misprint in the agenda. On Senator Carlson's motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, remaining on the order of business of motions and resolutions, I move that the Senate take up the calendar.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. We are on the Senate calendar. There is one bill on today's Senate calendar. Secretary will give House file number 1926. It's third reading.
House file number 1926, a bill for an act relating to agriculture, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House file 1926. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 60 ayes and one nay, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, remaining under the order of business of motion and resolutions, I move that the Senate take up the consent calendar.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. We are on the consent calendar. There is one bill on the consent calendar today. House File 1585, Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President and members. This bill is a relatively simple bill in that it just reduces the amount of time that schools must make a good faith effort when applying to the high school league in order to be assigned to an interscholastic conference. Currently, what is happening is that this extended period of time can be causing some problems for schools getting into a conference, and they may have to go out and find games, and it's somewhat disruptive. The high school league testified in favor of this bill, saying that the 180-day time period is no longer needed and that 90 days is plenty of time to accomplish the good faith effort and allow them to be placed into a conference. I'd appreciate your support on this bill.
Secretary will give House File 1585 its third reading.
House File Number 1585, a bill for an act relating to education, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 1585. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate File 1613 be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety and be re-referred to the Committee on Transportation.
And Senator, you are the author of that, and it has been agreed to by the chairs?
Yes, Madam President.
Thank you. On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate House File 1870, Number 19, on general orders for a special order for immediate consideration.
We will now take up House File 1870, Senator Wolf.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, House File 1870 is a bill that has to do with the layoff system that we currently have in Minnesota for teachers. There are times when a school district needs to reduce their staff. This may be because of budget issues, it may be because of declining enrollment, it may be because a certain class or subject is no longer needed. Regardless of the reason for the layoff, currently, if there's a layoff, teachers are laid off based on the order in which they were hired. Hence the term LIFO. Those who were last in are the first ones to be laid off. And This is regardless of the amount of experience that a teacher has or the effectiveness that they have in the classroom. And one thing that needs to be made clear is sometimes we confuse seniority with experience, and they are not the same. Experience has to do with how long a teacher has taught. Seniority has to do with how long a teacher has taught in a particular school district. They are not the same. What this bill would do is it would change the order of layoff so that when a layoff occurs, teachers would be laid off first based on licensure, second based on effectiveness, and third based on seniority. Last year we passed a bill that created a task force, which is currently in the process of designing a teacher evaluation system. They were tasked with designing a fair, consistent, and appropriate evaluation system. On that task force, 27 of the 35 members are either teachers or Education Minnesota representatives, and so they are currently working on an evaluation system. What this bill would do is it allows the school districts to work on their own evaluation system if they choose to negotiate that. If not, the fallback would be for the evaluation system that this task force comes up with. With that evaluation system, or that evaluation would be used then in the event of a layoff. And teachers would then be prioritized not based on the number of years they've taught in that district, but on their evaluation. What this bill is not, a bill to find and remove ineffective teachers. This bill is strictly dealing with layoffs. In the event of a layoff, teachers would be laid off based on their effectiveness. That would have priority over how long they've taught in that school district. Again, seniority does not mean experience. A teacher who has 10 years experience and leaves and goes to another school district will then have 0 years of seniority. And so they are not the same. And secondly, experience does not necessarily mean effectiveness. Typically speaking, and on the vast majority, the more experience a teacher has, they tend to be more effective. But that is not always the case. And what this bill would do would put more emphasis on the effectiveness of a teacher. And I want to say thank you to those who signed on to the bill. And I also want to especially say thank you to Senator Bana for what I think was an improvement to the bill by adding an amendment that would not only deal with teachers who have tenure, but it would also allow school districts to look at the effectiveness of a probation teacher. And if a probationary teacher is highly effective, they could be chosen to stay in front of that classroom over an ineffective teacher with more seniority. I think that's a good addition to this bill. There are some in this chamber that are going to say that this bill is an attack on teachers. And as a teacher of 26 years, I will say that this bill is no more an attack on teachers than the system we currently have. In the event of a layoff, some teachers stay and some teachers go. That is the reality of a layoff. So some teachers are going to lose their job. All of those teachers are union members. All of those teachers pay dues. All of those teachers have representation. All this bill does is it changes the order and the priority in which they are laid off. And while the current system is orderly, it is certainly not fair. It is not fair to effective teachers, and it is not fair to the students in the classroom. In a layoff, the value as a teacher is based on how long I've been in a school district, not on what I've done for my students. And there are some concerned that a school district will be able to manipulate evaluations in order to get rid of higher paid teachers. This is just not realistic. Currently, they cannot do that. This bill does not allow them to do it in the future either. A school board is not going to attempt to sabotage a teacher's evaluation just so they can get rid of higher paid teachers. But to ease that fear, there is language in this bill that specifically states that a teacher's salary cannot be included as a factor in the layoff process. This is a good bill. I think it's a long overdue bill. I hope it's a bill that will have bipartisan support, and I stand for questions and concerns.
Further discussion on House File 1870. Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
President.
Madam President, thank you. I rise in support of House File 1870. I want to thank Senator Wolf for the work she's done on this bill. I have felt very strongly about this issue for many years. I recall 2 years ago offering a bill that allowed school districts to offer a continuing contract to probationary teachers because I was most concerned about this particular group. As Senator Wolf said, the harsh reality about the way that that districts and teachers negotiate their contracts, the way that we provide or don't provide education funding, the harsh reality is every single year there are layoffs. There are far more layoffs than any of us would like, and that's a different subject and a matter that we ought to confront and we ought to get to the bottom of, and we ought to make sure that we are using our precious dollars in the most targeted and effective way possible. But putting all that aside, given there are layoffs, then the next question has to be, what is our role as a legislator with regard to layoffs? What role ought we to play? And I think that we provide the role of oversight here in the state legislature, that it is our job to do everything we can to protect our children, to preserve their opportunities, first and foremost. And when I say preserve their opportunities, what I mean is that it is beholden upon us, it is our duty as elected officials to make sure each and every student in Minnesota has the best, most greatest opportunity to have a world-class education so that they're ready for post-secondary and that they are ready to compete in the global marketplace when they leave our schools. So what does that have to do with the bill before you? Well, I think it has everything to do with the bill before you, because we all know the most important thing in determining the outcome of student achievement is first and foremost the family, and unfortunately we can't do as much as we'd like to help and nurture all of our children with regard to the experience they have with their family. But beyond that, it is the teacher. So given there are layoffs, it is the most important thing that we can do to focus on that as teachers are laid off, that we say the least effective teacher is laid off first, preserving the opportunity for the most effective teachers to be, in fact, in front of our precious children, our students. Some teachers have felt as though this is a further attack and an erosion on their profession, on the respect that we have for our teachers, and on their ability to collectively bargain. It's important for me to say on the record that that is not where I stand with regard to this bill. We have nation-leading ACT scores. We would not have nation-leading ACT scores if we didn't have nation-leading teachers. We have outstanding teachers. I am proud to say that all four of my children graduated from the Hopkins schools and did tremendously in their postgraduate or post-secondary studies, and three of the four now in the workplace. I credit their success with the teachers at Hopkins High School. This is not an attack on teachers. Yet, the Teacher Evaluation Task Force, the bill that we passed last year, says that we should do some kind of a rating of teacher performance based on some pretty broad categories. For example, they may come up with highly effective, effective, needs improvement, and ineffective. Let's say that is what they come up with, and given the tremendous experience on this task force in terms of the amount of educators who will be at the table designing this task force, one would assume that they will have, in fact, a program that uses multiple measures, that takes into account peer review, that takes into account things far beyond just what testing would point to in terms of a teacher's effectiveness. So assuming that with the right leadership, this teacher evaluation process will in fact be quite sound, now you've got a structure in place that divides, you know, teachers according to performance in those broad categories. This bill would say that when there's a layoff, you would start with the least effective. And then within that category, you're going to give preference to those who are senior because we do respect seniority. So you'd say the least effective teacher and yet the most senior within that category. One of the things I felt was missing in the House bill was this probationary teacher thing. You know, right now we have 1,531 first-year teachers. That's 3% of all teachers. The way the system currently works, every time there's a layoff, they are the first to go. President Obama was giving a speech recently on his jobs package, and he actually used Minnesota as an example. So I quote President Obama, "I met a first grade teacher from Minnesota at the White House who was laid off after having been named the Teacher of the Year in her school district," he said, alluding to former Becker teacher Lisa Bruska, who attended a White House event last month. "Her peers, students determined she was the best teacher in her school district. She got laid off." It is that kind of practice that this bill attempts to end. We would put those probationary teachers in the same pool as all the teachers, and we'd say who is the least effective as we look at layoffs. The other thing that is important to note, a concern that many teachers have raised and I have compassion for and agree with, is a concern that management could use this new system as a way to avoid keeping the more expensive teachers. So in fact, when a layoff could come, they could, you know, somehow rig the system and get rid of their more senior teachers who cost more. I don't think that that would be the practice, but to protect against that, there's actually now a sentence in this law or bill before you that says a teacher's remuneration, which means their salary plus benefits, could not be the basis of a layoff decision. I think it's important that we state that, although there are those protections under law, we want to send a very strong signal to our administrators, our school districts, our teachers, that that is not the intent with this law. And finally, there has been some concern raised about timing. Is this the right time for this law, given the Teacher Evaluation Task Force is just beginning their work? Well, I would say, yes, this is the perfect time for this bill because as they begin their work, it's important for them to understand what their outcome, their product at the end of the day will be used for. It will not be used just for evaluations that take place during the year. If they thought it would be, they might go in a particular direction as they design their work product. But it's important to let this group know that we, in fact, expect whatever they create to be used in this way as well, that it will be the tool that would be the first lens when layoffs happen. So by standing here today and providing leadership to that group and providing clear direction, I think we have a better chance of having an outstanding teacher evaluation product at the end of the day. Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Stumpf.
Thank you, Madam President. If we were standing here in January of 2016, I might be able to see the purpose of this, but if you look on in the bill on page 5, I'm not sure if it's the same page 5 for you, but on the computer, but it says here, beginning in 2016-17 school year and later, that this is going to take effect. And I think it's with that in mind that I think this is really premature. And I think there's very little in this bill, apart from that, that school districts can't use right now. I think about 40% of our school districts across the state currently use a negotiated agreement between school board and the teachers. And in what seems strange is that we have passed last year the proposal to try to incorporate an evaluation system for our educators. Knowing last year, and I'm sure many of you got into discussions about this, that trying to evaluate our children's progress in an educational environment is a very difficult process. You have not only different kinds of neighborhoods that children come from and different kinds of families and backgrounds, but many children learn differently in the style of how they learn and the programs that they're in. And I think this challenge that we gave the education community to come up with some sort of an evaluation system that we could use as a legislative body or as something that we might put into statute is one of the most difficult challenges I think we've ever laid on them. And that is to say, how do we measure what children are actually going to learn? Some teachers will have a very good year, and they can operate and teach 40 children in a class and do it fairly effectively. The next year they might have 20 students in a class and not be able to teach them nearly as well because of the type of students that are in those classes. And so we're going to base this evaluation system, base their growth and their ability to stay into the education system on this growth. And so I think it's really premature to say, let's pass this bill right now, and then, sometime in the next few years, we're going to see an evaluation system that'll really take effect. So I would urge members to think twice about voting for this before they actually see the evaluation system that we're going to put in place.
Further discussion, Senator Nelson. Oh, excuse me, Senator Wolf. Okay, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I rise to speak in favor of Senate File 1690. This is one of the most important things we can do this year. The data is clear that the most important in-school variable for student achievement is the teacher. This bill is one way to make sure that when school districts are in that unfortunate situation, whether it be from declining enrollment or budgetary constraints, and they must lay off teachers, that school districts have the ability to determine which teachers are going to stay in the classroom based upon their effectiveness rather than on when they signed a contract with that district. I encourage a green vote.
Further discussion. Since I am not seeing much discussion, I am going to go to third reading quickly, if you don't mind, Senator Wolf. Secretary will give House File 1870 its third reading.
House File Number 1870, a bill for an act relating to education, third reading.
Senator Wolf.
Thank you, Madam President. First of all, I wanted to briefly address the statements that were made by Senator Stumpf as far as the timing goes. School districts do not have to wait for this timing. They are given the opportunity to negotiate and put something into place now. But in the event that they do not, we have an evaluation that is being put together by a task force, which, as I said, is represented 27 out of the 35 are teachers or Education Minnesota representatives. I have full confidence that they are going to be able to look at all the variables that need to go into an evaluation. I agree, it's a very difficult thing. How do you compare a band teacher and a math teacher? Those are parts of the challenges that this task force has to put together, which is why it is going to take so long for it to go into place.
But to wait before we put this next step into place just doesn't make sense. This goes into place 5 years from now. That means any first graders right now will be in middle school. Any kid who is a seventh grader will be graduated. They will not get the benefits of this bill in making sure that they have the most effective teacher teaching them in the classroom. So I do not think that we need to wait on this. I think the proper things are taking place. The task force is doing their job. I am confident that they are going to come up with a good product. They are well represented by the education forces. As far as the way layoffs go now, I'll reiterate. Who stays and who goes should not be determined by who signs the contract first. Who stays and who goes should be who is best able to teach those kids in the classroom. We owe the students that much. Teachers are, when we sign a contract, again, experience and seniority are not the same thing. You may have several years' experience. You go to another school district, you sign a new contract, your seniority starts then. So all seniority represents is the date and the time that you signed your contract. It does not represent the effectiveness of that teacher. And we owe it to our students to place the most effective teachers in the classroom, and I'm asking for a yes vote.
Further discussion, I believe Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair and members, I had passed out an article that was the report of the teachers' agreement that was signed in St. Paul, and there's a very important paragraph here which says that the agreement include, a lot of it was about teaching and learning and not about money, and it said the agreement included beefing up the district's educator-driven teacher evaluation program and protecting teachers in language immersion and other specialized programs from layoffs based on seniority. Local school districts have the authority to do this. They are doing it. I believe Senator Stump said 40% of the districts. There's no reason why they cannot all negotiate in their contracts layoff circumstances that do not include just seniority but include other factors. So I don't really feel this bill is necessary. I think that the advocates' energies and efforts would be better placed working with the local school district.
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President, and I agree with Senator Pappas. This is another attack on collective bargaining rights. There are very few, if any, districts that could not collectively bargain everything that's in this bill. And there's a huge difference between teachers. I think this group is going to have a really hard time finding an evaluation system that's fair to all teachers because, as Senator Stump said, we have 40 kids in one classroom and maybe 15 or 20 in another classroom. On top of that, the teachers in my district tell me that every single minute of their curriculum is planned for them. So when they sit down on the weekend to put their class together for the week, they take the curriculum book that's given to them. They have to go through and find the times that they can teach this. There's not a minute left in the day for any creative teaching. So I don't know how easy it's going to be to evaluate them. Right now, as teachers will tell you, they have to teach to the tests, and the districts are giving them curriculum all laid out for them to do exactly that. So I don't know where the creativity is going to come in the classroom that'll make one teacher better than another. Also, you've got the districts, like some of the ones I represent, that have a high number of new immigrant students and students that don't even know English. So how could a teacher come out well in the evaluation if a number of her students are not even speaking English yet? I talked to my superintendents, and one of them, I asked her, straight up, tell me, how are the collective bargaining issues in the union and your school district working? She said it works well for all of us, and anybody that tells you that they can't lay off a teacher when they need need to, is not telling you the truth, because they can lay off a teacher with seniority. They just have to have it spelled out how to do that in the collective bargaining agreement. But she said they've never had trouble in the school district getting rid of an unfit teacher. So I think there's really a lot of rhetoric that goes around about that, and it's not really factual. Or the school district is not doing a good job in their part of the bargaining and the negotiations. So, you know, with all this in mind, and with what Senator Stumpf said, the evaluations aren't even going to be in law for several years yet, four more years, this bill is very premature. And I think we should wait and watch and see what the school districts come up with in their own next collective bargaining agreement. They don't have to wait either 4 years to figure out how they want to lay off. They just have to have strong negotiations, and they can get done what they need to get done to have the best teachers in the schools that they can possibly have, which is very, very different from one school district to another and what the needs are from one school district to another. So I would encourage a no vote on this.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, House File 1870, regardless of what has been said on this floor, is the latest attack on teachers and on unions. And quite frankly, if that's not true, I wouldn't be getting all these emails from teachers saying that that's exactly what it is. We have been questioning our teachers in the state of Minnesota for years now, saying that they are not doing a good job and that our kids are not graduating with the honors that they should be, and yet we have the highest SAT scores in the country. We've had skilled teachers in this state for many, many years who have done the job of educating our kids and making our kids among the best in the country. You know, teachers are evaluated during their first 3 years of teaching, and I've heard this from several different teachers saying that they've had several different evaluations over the first 3 years. It's at this time that administrators should be able to weed out the ineffective teachers and make sure that they are not continue to teach. But members, what this bill does is it basically guts tenure. It says that they can lay off teachers who have seniority just because they don't like them. And quite frankly, what will end up happening is that when there is a layoff situation in a school, even if the bill says you can't do it based on your salary, they'll figure out a way to make senior teachers ineffective and lay them off. And I'm sitting here saying, you know, at some point in time in this legislature, we got to start complimenting our teachers about the good job they do as opposed to telling them they're not doing the job. And we've got to figure out a way to say that teachers, go teach. Teach our kids and do the best job you can and compliment them for what they do. You know, seniority is experience. Now, you may say that if you change a district, then you don't have seniority anymore, but quite frankly, the fact of the matter is you still have a number of years that you taught, and that's experience. And I had an old coach who used to say all the time, you know, you can't substitute experience. Even big business will tell you that you can't substitute experience. But I will tell you that big business will lay off older employees because of their salary, and they will hire younger ones just because they're cheaper, and they will make up an excuse for why they laid that person off, and it won't be the person's salary. And the same thing will end up happening in this particular bill here. You know, we already are having a hard time getting young kids to go into the teaching profession, and one of the reasons is the salary. It's low paying. $25,000 or $30,000 doesn't seem like a very attractive thing to do, especially when you go into a profession that you have absolutely no guarantee that after you've been there for a few years that anybody's going to really appreciate what you've done, even if you're good at it. And now we're saying, heck, even if you got 10 years in, we don't care. If you got 20 years in, we don't care. We're going to get rid of you if we feel like it. And this not only will deter kids from going into the profession, it will most likely lower salaries. And finally, members, over 40% of the school districts in the state already negotiate seniority rights. It's already something that they can do. This bill is not necessary. Yes, it is an attack on teachers, and yes, it is an attack on unions. Vote no.
Senator Olson. Thank you, Madam President. I think that the reason that it is important to have this bill now is that it would be an encouragement for our bargaining units to, in fact, bargain, to include effectiveness. And I'm hoping that more and more districts will get to that, their own local effectiveness model, and be able to use that. Now, Senator Tomasoni, I hate to disagree with you, but my goodness, you're getting a little cynical. This is not against teachers. You know, both Senator Wolf and I have been teachers. This is not against collective bargaining. It's an encouragement that these things be bargained. I know St. Paul has bargained, but they did not, they apparently have not included the effectiveness part of it. They've covered some of the areas that we've tried to assure whether there's unique licensure. But that is, and that is to be commended. But I think one step further, and they may well, because they're down that road, be able to put that in place and go forward with it. I have great respect for the work of the St. Paul School District in working toward effective teachers. But Senator Tomasoni, I just couldn't disagree with you more. Teachers that are performing effectively, I don't care how long they've been there, don't have anything to worry about. The ones that are that I think that we should be concerned about, there is a difference between experience and seniority, because if you happen to change districts and not necessarily want to be locked in for life, you not only start over on seniority, but you're on probation. So right away, if there's a need for layoff, you're gone and have to move on. And that can be very disruptive in a person's life. Maybe you say, well, then they should stay put. But that may not always be in the best interest either of the teacher or ultimately in students that could in another situation need the kind of teacher that this person is. So why there is a fear of this is just beyond me, because it is not aimed, nor would it have the effect of undermining collective bargaining. I hope it would encourage more locals to do that, because they aren't including that dimension of effectiveness that's locally determined, which they can do. They can do that right now, and this bill will not change that. And thanks to Senator Bonhoeff putting in the provision that probationary teachers be included in that consideration, I think does protect the ability to retain teachers that have gained some of their experience in another setting. So I just encourage you to reconsider and support this bill, because it is not the ominous endeavor that you are purported to be.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Olson, I really don't like to have to disagree with you, because I like you a lot, and I know you were a really good teacher, and I know that Senator Wolf is a really good teacher also. However, it's happening in our charter schools. They're laying off based on salary, and it's not based on performance. They figure out that they don't have enough money, and so they lay off a teacher that's making more money than somebody else isn't, whether there's effectiveness or not. And quite frankly, the evaluation tools are going to be administered by an administrator who, I don't know if they're going to actually use the evaluation tools to the greatest extent of the tool, or if they're going to do it based on the personality of the teacher, or whether or not the administrator didn't like that teacher for some reason or other. Now, whether all this sounds cynical, I don't know. But as I've gone through life, I've found out that people who are cynical oftentimes are right. And I really don't think that we can afford to put undue pressures on our teachers any more than we already have, because the systems themselves are now seeing teachers not knowing what they can and can't do, and afraid to try new things, and to try to do things that might end up making our kids critical thinkers as opposed to test takers. And You know, I want the best for our kids. I want the best for our teachers. I don't think this bill does it. I think this bill sends a bad message, and I'm really, really worried about new kids coming into the profession, whether or not they actually will do it based on something like this and based on some of the other things we have, because we do need new and enthusiastic teachers coming into the profession. But when they start looking at what happens in this legislature every single year regarding teachers, I have no idea why they would decide to become a teacher.
I do have several people on the list. Senator Nelson?
Thank you, Madam President. As a former teacher, I can tell you that there are many young teachers who embrace being able to stay in their district. And in fact, Senator Tomasoni, I agree with you. Right now, it is very hard for young teachers to break into the teaching profession and stay in the same place, especially for those of us who represent areas of declining enrollment where we have seen teacher layoffs. Those schools have been forced to lay off the youngest teachers. There is no job security for teachers, for young teachers, specifically without this legislation. And this legislation is about keeping our best teachers, making sure that our very best teachers have the ability to be retained. We must clarify, it is not about, as one member said, getting rid of unfit teachers. That is a whole other issue for another day. This issue is specifically about school districts who are forced into a situation of laying off teachers. Should they not be able to keep the teachers that they believe are the most effective, regardless of when they signed their contract? And in reality, what we have seen is young teachers, those teachers coming out of our colleges, the most technologically advanced, those who are eager and ready to change lives and help students prepare for college and career, are the very ones that get cut. So if you're interested in great teachers, in making the teaching profession a profession that welcomes young teachers, then you will want to support this bill.
Senator Hayden.
Thank you, Madam President. I contemplated putting an amendment on this bill that really considered the ethnic balance of teachers as they're being laid off. And some of you may look a little confused, but the reason why I say that is that as some of the information that has been passed out about who supports it, there are groups and organizations that are ethnic, the African American Leadership Forum and others, who really support this bill. And we've had long conversations about what this bill would and wouldn't do. And one of the things that they have talked about, and they've talked about in communities like mine and Senator Higgins and others, is that there is an ability to retain more teachers of color. That often more that teachers of color are the newest teachers, and those teachers are the ones that get laid off. And this is a mechanism in which to do that. I don't see how that would work. First of all, we have an evaluation in which we don't know what its principles are going to be. We don't know how it's going to work. But assuming that performance is going to be a high measure, that's what I hear a lot, we often know that those teachers of colors go into those school districts and go into those classrooms that have the most underperforming children. And so until we understand how we compensate for that in our evaluation process, there is a thought that those teachers would be graded lower and that those would be the ones that would be laid off. Now, I'm not saying that that's true or that's how it's going to work, but that's the problem. We don't know. We don't know how it's going to work because we have not got through the evaluation, rulemaking, or process yet to figure out how that works. And so what I'm concerned about is often I see the rest of the folks that support this, the Minnesota Business Partnership, Student First, the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, Itasca Project. It appears that business really likes this, that business is really concerned about the achievement gap, that business is really concerned about the workforce of the future. However, often I see in this very body that, well, first of all, let me address that the business partnership, the chamber and others don't do work in terms of community development. They don't do small business development in those communities. We have the largest unemployment gap between whites and African Americans in the country in the Twin Cities. African Americans are unemployed north of 25%, and they think those that are off the rolls are north of 40. Now, Madam President, before you stop me, I know that that's not the bill that we're arguing, but what I am saying is that I am curious as to why we are so concerned about those children in the classroom but not concerned about their families around it and all of the education that goes on before school and after school. And so I want to know where those bills are that really help us to restore the cuts that we've made. We borrowed $2.1 billion, and we're talking about there's inevitable that there is going to be layoffs. Yes, there are regions of the state that have declining enrollment, right? But a lot of times, especially in the districts that I represent, a lot of times the layoffs are because we're not funding the schools appropriately. Right? We're not funding them appropriately. So then we want to go to a frame that says, well, but we got to lay them off, and when we should, this is how we should do it. And so I think that this bill, though I want great teachers, I am deeply concerned about the achievement gap, but I want us to have a sensible solution that doesn't kind of smell like it might be something else, that doesn't kind of look like we might be trying to do something else. I want us to be serious and deliberate about what we should do about the achievement gap. How do we get the best teachers there? But I want us to also think about their mothers and their fathers and their little baby brothers and sisters that are in early childhood education. And how do we figure out to create an environment in which kids can learn and we can move forward? And so, Madam President, as I close, once again, I'm not going to put the amendment on, but it would really, because I also think that Senator Bonoff's amendment to the bill covers somewhat of that, but I don't think that it gets at the essence. I don't think it gets at the essence of this issue about the achievement gap, because think about what we said today. We said that we have some of the highest ACT scores in the country. We have some of the highest graduation rates in the country, with the exception of kids of color. So why don't we tailor something? Why don't we put something forward that actually gets at that issue? Because otherwise, this is a solution looking for a problem. And I think that we have a lot more business to do in this body than to move forward with legislation that doesn't seem to be ready and that's tailor-made to a group that you haven't talked directly to. When I talk to African-American teachers, they don't want this bill. When I talk to African-American parents, they want their children to be educated, and yes, they want great teachers, but they don't see how this bill works to that. So with that being said, Madam President, I reluctantly, because I like the spirit in which this is done, will not be supporting the bill. Thank you.
Senator Wolf, to that point, because I do have several other folks.
Thank you, Madam President. Yes, to that point. First, when Senator Hayden first started speaking, I first wanted to stand up and say thank you for supporting this bill, because the comments about young teachers who are being let go actually would have a chance in this bill to stay. And as far as the other 95% of it has nothing to do with this bill. Maybe they are. They're definitely issues we can tackle at another time, at another bill. They have nothing to do with this bill. This bill is simply on layoffs. And as far as the ethnic comments, and you read off the people who are supporting this bill, I don't know if you got the copy of the Star Tribune that was sent around to everybody's desk. By Chris Stewart, who is currently leads Action for Equity, and I apologize, I can't think of the other group. He represents an African American group as well. He is in strong support of this bill for many of the reasons that you just shared. And as far as listing people who support this bill, I would ask you how many parents specifically you've heard from that do not support this bill. I hear all kinds of parents saying, yes, we want effective teachers in the classroom. I have never heard a parent say, yes, I want the teacher who's been there the longest in the classroom.
That's the one we should protect. This is not about attacking the union. This is not about attacking teachers. And I say that to you as a teacher, as a union member. This is about what's doing best for the students. This is about, back to Senator Tomasoni's comments, again with younger teachers. 45 to 50% of teachers leave the profession in the first 5 years. And I would argue it's not because of the poor pay or the underappreciation. You want to know what is not appreciation? When someone tells you that you have less value because you haven't been there as long. That's not being appreciated. Being appreciated is when somebody tells you, we want to keep you because you're an effective teacher. That's being an appreciation as a teacher. And so to keep our teachers in the classroom, or our young teachers, I think we need to show them that more matters than just when you signed your contract. What matters is what you do with those kids. That's ultimately the goal, what's best for the students.
I have Senator Bonhoff. Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Madam President. I, too, wanted to talk a little bit about the article that Chris Stewart wrote, so I'm glad Senator Wolf brought that up. I do have it before me, and I would start by just quoting. I think it's an important piece that he wrote, and so I do think it is worth reading a few sentences within his piece. So the first one is, the world is changing. Our demography is changing, and economic expectations are escalating. To maturely meet the challenges before us, we must change. And so I think that particular sentence goes to the heart of what Senator Hayden was talking about as he talked about the disparity between the African-American population who is working and the unemployment rate for the rest of Minnesotans. And that's an unacceptable statistic. And I think, Senator Hayden, it has everything to do with this bill. I think it is at the heart of this bill. It is the essence of this bill, because what can we do to make this be different in our future? The most important thing we can do to make this be different in our future is to make certain that we give those kids who are most at risk the greatest chance for future success, and that means arming them with a top-notch education. So why are those African-American leaders and the Equity for Education groups so strongly in support of this bill? It's because they believe this bill will give them the greatest chance of changing and transforming that cultural condition of, you know, lacking hope, of despair, of not being able to feed one's family. That is not acceptable. I reject that, and I reject anything that could be a barrier to that. With regard to Senator Tomasoni's points about our young people, actually, I'm standing up for our young people. That is who I've been talking to. I have met with these young teachers, teachers in my community who have been pink-slipped, who are passionate about their job. I'm also concerned about the amount of teachers who will be retiring. How are we going to replace them if we keep sending the signal to our new teachers that their future is at risk? By allowing for some protection within the law with regard to their future, I think we have a better chance of attracting strong new teachers to the profession. I also read from Chris Stewart, how shall we ensure that when districts must lay off teachers, they are empowered to keep teachers who can produce a desired effect? By using effectiveness rather than date of hire to determine which teachers stay before our children. And then Chris Stewart talks about the soccer coach and how no matter what the conditions, when it comes time to decide who's going to be on the field, the soccer coach makes sure he's got the very best possible players on the field. And he uses that analogy to disavow the notion that the administrators are going to find some loophole and let go the more expensive teachers. So he says, life is not always rational, but it seems more likely that administrators, like coaches of any team, will release their weaker players and retain those most capable of reaching goals. But even if school leaders are irrational, the proposed law uses results from teacher evaluations to objectively rank teachers. In the real world, evaluations are imperfect, but useful for sorting the American workforce. Most of us have lived with that reality all of our working lives.
And I recall, members, when I first joined my father's company, a small business, a chain of women's clothing stores, and my first year out of college, I noticed that that there were no evaluations. And so I thought that was strange. I didn't understand how people could be given positive encouragement and appreciation and extra compensation. And so I talked my dad into hiring a consultant who was formerly with General Mills to design a performance appraisal system for the salespeople, the alterations people. And really, workplace environment turned around, and people were pretty excited about that process. So I think we'd find the same thing with regard to this as well. I think it would be a very inspiring tool that would be put forth. And I want to commend Minneapolis and St. Paul school districts. I think they've come a long way in this area and that they will continue to lead us. And I share Senator Olson's commitment and optimism that the local school districts, once we pass this measure, will take it upon themselves to do it faster, because I think they do have the children's interests at heart and they will make this choice. School districts currently can tell you that some teachers are beating the odds with so-called hard-to-educate students. School leaders can point you to classrooms where year after year a teacher is closing the achievement gap. What they can't tell you is how long they will be able to keep those teachers they need the most. And finally, when you look at the pockets of population where we are having the most trouble with the achievement gap, whether it be in North Minneapolis or in the Osseo School District, where there is so many free and reduced lunch students, where even in my own district, Hopkins has increase of free and reduced lunch students, those pockets of poverty, as we know, are the very toughest to hit. We want to remove any barrier to having some of our most successful, experienced teachers be willing, towards the end of their career, perhaps to leave a district that doesn't have some of those challenges and move into some of these districts where we have the toughest battles, where, you know, beating the odds is very challenging. By passing a law like this, we take away the first barrier, and that is the barrier of being worried about job security. So I would urge members who are concerned about this achievement gap and, more important, the economic gap of these underrepresented populations to consider some of these facts as they look at this bill. And then finally, if this doesn't pass in this form, I hope that we will take a second look at it and find a way to do something powerful yet this session.
Senator Marty. Mr. President, thank you. Senator Wolf, you handed out one of the handouts in which you have a thing of saying that this bill is critical to ensuring the state's best teachers are kept in the classroom. And I would strongly disagree with that. I agree with you. There's some really, really excellent teachers being laid off. And there's some really, really excellent teachers not being laid off. Matter of fact, I think most of the teachers in the state are really, really excellent teachers. And the problem is that we're laying off teachers year after year after year. And I know there's lots of conflicting differences between you and me and others on what will improve our classrooms, what kind of education reform we have. I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily partisan. There are partisan aspects to it, perhaps, different philosophies of education, so on. But I have yet to hear somebody who cares about schools make a really rational statement that they think we can improve our schools by laying off any teachers or paraprofessionals or cutting back on the schools. And frankly, that's what we're doing. So we're arguing about who we're going to lay off instead of questioning why we're laying off teachers if we say we care about the next generation. I think Senator Hayden, I want to say bravo to what he was saying about early childhood and everything else. If we invested in that, this sheet, Senator Wolf, your handout said one of the most important in-school factors we can do about school quality. Well, a whole lot of the factors are outside of the school, too, and the early childhood things and the situation kids are growing up in. And I think all of those are things we ought to address. If we really want to improve schools, that's what we ought to do. Having said that, I like the idea that we try and evaluate teachers. My only fear of it is, one, it's really easy to game the system. A whole lot of education reformers, like a whole lot of healthcare reformers, think, you know, the way we're going to improve healthcare is to get the bad doctors out of the way. We got to grade doctors, evaluate doctors. We'll pay them according to that. Boy, you talk to the doctors who find out how the health plans are actually trying to help them game the system. I heard one doctor say after every patient visit that she's now asked if she can grade the person, if a person had diabetes, well, can you mention they had high blood pressure? Can you mention they have heart disease? Can you mention that? Yeah, you probably mention all of them. The more things she checks off, the sicker her patients look. And they leave her office, they're just as healthy as they were if she didn't check them off. So she can get paid more and be a better quality doctor by gaming the system. And so my question and my problem with this legislation is that it's very easy to game the system in any form of evaluation. And yes, we should be evaluating, and if you want to call it grading, teachers, but my question is, who's grading the evaluators? I mean, if I get to choose who the good teachers are, I think I could do a good job of it. And Senator Olson, you may think you can too, and you'd probably come up with a different set of teachers than I might. And maybe we'd come together and come to some similar conclusions. And I think we'd probably agree there are certain people we'd like to move out of the way. But when we're sitting here cutting teachers, which is realistically what's been happening in recent years, and yes, some excellent teachers have been laid off, and we're trying to figure out some really efficient, good, smooth way of evaluating kids, the way the teachers are going to game the system is the ones who don't care about the kids are going to find ones to push any troubled kid out of the way because then it won't be against their record. The teachers who care the most about the at-risk kids, about the kids who are struggling, they're going to show up worse on these teacher evaluations. That's why I have real concern about any teacher evaluation that's using test scores, because I think the problem with a careful system of evaluating the thing is, of evaluating teachers or doctors or whatever, is sometimes the people who are the most caring professionals, the ones who do the best job, are going to show up worst on the evaluation forms. So unless you get that evaluation form perfect, you're going to have a screwed up system. If you want to improve our schools, the first thing you do is stop laying off teachers, good ones, because that's who you're laying off. And the ones you're not laying off are also the good ones. Frankly, I know there are a handful of bad apples, but we're all acting as if half the teachers in the schools are doing a terrible job. I think we're doing a lot worse job at funding the schools than they're doing at teaching our kids. Senator Kielash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a problem with this bill because we've, like Senator Marty has just said, that we're underfunding our schools. And I can't help but think that that teacher that's got seniority, that has spent 20 years in the classroom teaching in a class of, say, 20 or 25 students and suddenly gets dumped an extra 10 or 15 students because we're underfunding the schools, isn't doing quite as well. And that teacher spent time and went on and got her master's degree or his master's degree to be a better teacher. And in that process, they moved up the pay scale. They are now making twice as much or more as a probationary teacher or a first-year teacher. So now suddenly what strikes me is that the school superintendent has a choice when it comes time to lay off. Do I lay off this teacher that's dedicated their lives to teaching and being a better teacher and going on to get that education? Do I lay off that teacher so that I can put two probationary teachers in the classroom and reduce my class size by half? And will Senator Olson yield for a question? Senator Olson, based on that scenario, how do you keep people, how do people have a career in teaching if, in fact, that they're subject to the cuts in education that we at the legislature do so that they're underfunded and the pressure on these school superintendents to have more teachers in the classroom at less expense? How do you have a career in teaching? Do you go for 10 years and suddenly you're too expensive for the school district and get laid off and then have to find a new career? That's what this bill is doing, and that's part of what's wrong with it. That's why I'm opposing it. But I look at this as this may be a short-term solution to what's not really a great problem because any teacher can get laid off currently if the administration does their documentation correctly. So
Senator Key,
how do you have a career?
Senator Keelash, did you ask Senator Wolf or Senator Olson?
Senator Olson, because she brought up the earlier. So, and she's a teacher, too. So. Either one, whatever.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Keelash, the focus seems to be shifting to the financing of education and a setup in that particular area. And I don't know that we've got the time or should take it right now to have the discussion on what drives the situation that you're talking about. But it does. You don't have to have a major in math to figure it out. Is that we have a system of compensation that is unsustainable. And it isn't the negotiations by the bargaining unit for what the raises in the salary schedule are going to be. It's the base and the built-in automatic escalators that, in fact, are driving those costs. And, of course, when you apply a percentage to a salary that's twice as large as another, who gets the biggest chunk? The percentage drives their salary and the disparity even faster. I've used an illustration that districts, when they talk about their settlement, you know, often refer to the total package of, you know, one, it's raised 1% or 2%. But most districts have built into that base that automatic escalator that's anywhere from 4 to 6%. So let's just take 5%. And so 5% is going to be automatically added to that. And maybe they bargained and settled for 2%, which sounds quite reasonable. That means that salary is going up 7%. That moves over to the second year of the biennium for another 7%, and they've also negotiated that increase in the second year. That's 21% increase in compensation in one biennium. We do not have the capability of meeting that. And that's why we can give more money, as we did this year. And immediately, districts were talking about how they had to make cuts. There isn't enough that we're ever going to be able to do that. Part of the other reason that we talk about discouraging the young teachers, when you add 1% or 2% to theirs, it isn't nearly as much, or even the 7%, as it is to somebody that's making two or two and a half times that. And they just see that they'll probably never get there, and why should they continue in that? So there does need to be, I've maybe said somewhat, not even meaning in jest, maybe we ought to look at the union model of apprentice, journeyman, and master, and have three levels instead of this automatic each year differentiation. And we would give our younger teachers a better chance, and yet you'd have the opportunity to move up into classifications that have higher compensation. We need to look at that before just automatically just sitting here and saying the status quo is just fine, all we need is throw more money. I'm tired of hearing that. I know I'm hanging it up, but the reality is that is not going to solve it. What my fear is that we'll sink the ship. I do support public education. I support parental choice, but I support our public system, and I don't want to see it turn into something that's unsustainable and that we can't afford to have it continue to be work toward the excellence that we have. So, you know, that we have, and yet we've got to strive for some of these populations. I wish Senator Hayden was still on the floor. Districts have been working to hire minority teachers. Why would they want to automatically turn around and have to lay them off? Because they will tend to be the newer teachers on the block. And so we've got some bigger issues that we need to deal with. And I hope that the continued leadership and passion for education will grapple with these and try to bring them to some resolution. Because thus far, we haven't been able to do it, even though there have been many that have been trying to try to find a way that is both sustainable and is rewarding of excellent teachers. Because I agree with you, we have excellent teachers. We may have some that the security has caused them to retire a little early on the job, but they have a choice. If this goes into place, they say, hey, I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to be the best I can be, and they haven't got a thing to worry about.
Senator Kielash, then we have Senator Higgins, and then closing comments from Senator Wolf.
Senator Olson, you talked a little bit, but you I think missed a little of my point. As a young person going into teaching these now, if I look at this bill and I say I can have a 10 or maybe 15-year career in this, and when I finally start making some decent money, the school superintendent, because of budget pressures, could say, you know, I can have two new teachers for what it cost me for you. And those two new teachers can handle twice as many kids, and in fact, it's cheaper. And because an evaluation system is arbitrary, and because it's also, you know, it's based on the school doesn't really need a sound reason that says you're a bad teacher or not, I can hire two teachers for the price of one, and have my kids are going to get a better education. That's the pressure that's going on here. So how does a young person go into teaching knowing with this kind of lack of tenure protection, lack of some kind of system where those high teachers that invest in their careers, invest in their education to become better teachers, you know, add student debt to their, you know, to their obligations to the banks, etc. How do those folks continue moving on if, in fact, they're always their careers jeopardized by the fact that they cost more than a young teacher? We can say that young teacher is better. You know, that's subjective. I mean, we can just do a lot of that stuff. But in the end, this is about, you know, are we going to have teaching as a career in this state? Are we going to have people come into the system until they get too expensive to maintain and then hire the next generation? How do you have a career in teaching? It was my question, Senator Olson, or Senator Wolf, if you'd choose to answer that. Thank you.
Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I admit to being confused. I'm confused because last week we had an education bill on the floor, and we were told we couldn't mandate anything to the schools. We had to encourage. Senator Wieger had a provision where we would have put into law a certain number of school counselors per student. We were told we couldn't do that. We couldn't mandate. So as I'm looking through the language of this bill, I see lots of mandates. A lot of places where may is changed to must, or other provisions are added saying that a school district must do something or another. So I'm kind of confused. I'm wondering what the role of our position is when it gets into work that should by rights be between employer and employee. Our school districts want the best students that they can have. They want the best teachers they can have. They want to have some flexibility. And yet they know that a lot of their longtime teachers are some of the best teachers ever. My best teachers when I was going to school were a couple of about 6 foot tall women who both had blue hair. And you couldn't measure how good those women were in teaching the students in my school. You just couldn't measure it. They were so good. If you asked anybody who came from my school, some of the best teachers they would name were those two women with blue hair. And if you don't know the blue hair reference because you're too young, older women whose hair turned white would then somehow rinse it and make it blue instead, which I never quite understood, but they did. They had blue hair. They were old. They were terrific. So here we are, we're in a position of saying now teachers who have been in a system for a long time have not as much value as other teachers. Now, I just think that 1 week we're saying no mandates, the next week we're saying you must do things our way. And Mr. President, I think I'm still confused about where we're going in this legislature this year.
Senator Wolf, closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll address several of the issues that were brought up, but I want us to get back to focusing on what this bill addresses. This bill does not address the huge budget issue. It does not address any of that. It does not address all of those many factors which Senator Marty brought up and Senator Hayden brought up, and I wish they were here to hear me give them credit for that because those are real valid. There are other factors. Okay? This bill cannot remotely address all of those factors. This bill is not in and of education itself. This bill only addresses when a layoff takes place. This doesn't keep layoffs from happening. It doesn't look at the other factors. When a layoff takes place, how are we going to prioritize the order that we keep teachers? Because some teachers are going to lose their job. Some teachers are going to keep their job. And just a side note to Senator Higgins, as far as mandates versus policies, as a teacher, I'll point out that tenure, I believe, is something that the legislature mandated. I believe that being a member of a union or not a member of a union, paying union dues is something that the legislature mandated and put into place. So you're right, there might be some fuzzies there as to what roles of the legislature is. I do think it is the role of the legislature to represent parents and students. Students who have no vote. Parents who can give their input to school boards and choose their elected officials. Senator Hayden brought up all the people that were listed in one of the handouts that were given that support this bill. And I would argue, to my knowledge, the only one that opposes this bill is the Education Union, of which I'm a member. I have not heard from any parents, I have not heard from any students that oppose this bill. I have only heard support from parents, from students, from multiple other organizations. The only arguments against this bill have come from Education Minnesota. And I would challenge the senators to take a look at this one little bitty part that we are looking at. We are not looking at education as a whole. We are not looking at finances. We are not looking at union. We are looking at when a layoff takes place, where do we give the priority? Do we give the priority in putting the best teachers in the classroom for our students, or do we give the priority to which teacher signed the contract first? And we go by the date and the time. And if your date and time was longer, you have a better shot at a job. That's a horrible message to send to new teachers. It's a horrible message to send to parents and current teachers. And I ask members for a yes vote.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 1870.
All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 36 ayes and 26 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Moving on to the 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam President. And members, if you haven't been back in the retiring room yet, I would encourage you to do so. I brought treats this morning. It's Duluth Days this week, and I've got a new small business in my district that does gourmet cupcakes and wedding cakes, and they designed a Lake Superior cupcake for us this week for Duluth Days. It's a lemon cupcake with a blueberry filling to represent the heart of Lake Superior, and then it has a whipped frosting with some chocolate pebbles on top. So if you, like me, haven't eaten lunch yet, life is short. Start with dessert. Thank you, Madam President.
Further announcements, Senator Tomasoni.
Well, Madam President, and for those of you who don't know, it's not only Duluth Days, it's St. Louis County Days, and if you would like to have taconite pellets, I have them in my office, so you can come and pick them up for me.
Thank you, Senator Tomasoni. Very quickly, without objection, the following members are excused for the day. Senator Skoy, Senator Rest, Senator Sparks, Senator Sharon, Senator Nienau for the entire session, and Senators Goodwin from 11 to 11:35. Without objection, they are excused. Further announcements of Senate interest? Senator Senchum.
Madam President, the business of the Senate now having been concluded, I would move that we adjourn until Thursday, March 1st at 11 o'clock.
Senator Senchum has moved that we adjourn until Thursday, March 1st at 11 o'clock. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.